everyone. Welcome back to Dad Space. You know, the podcast for dads by dads. And when you get two Davids in a room together, magic is going to happen because, hey, we're going to have a great conversation about being dads. David Frazier's with me. David, welcome to Dad Space. Glad to have you here.
Yes, sir. And I'm happy to be here.
Come on. All right. So you are a dad. Tell us a little bit about your kids, a little bit about your family. Let's start there.
Yeah, so I have three kids. The oldest is 17. The youngest is 4 years old. And the middle is 10 years old. I am married as well. So that's a great thing, I would say. Yeah, that's a little bit in a nutshell right there.
Awesome, awesome. Where are you in this big world of ours, too?
Yes, I am in North Carolina, right outside of Charlotte, in the great place of Indian Trail. So I'm right outside of Charlotte, about 30 minutes. So, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, and on top of that, you have worked with youth in the past, football coach. You've done a lot of great things to help other students and kids.
Yes, sir.
What is it about serving that community, young people, that really sparks you up and you know that there's a right spot for you to be in to serve?
Yeah, so I would say just one, being a true person. And the reason I say that is because a lot of kids today, they want people to tell them the truth. Being around sports, I realized growing up myself that a lot of people sometimes are afraid to be honest with you. For whatever reason, whether it's to keep the youth around, whether it's because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. But I believe that it's for me because I'm able to be honest and upfront and transparent. And I believe with being transparent and upfront, you also have to bring a solution to the table. So I think that for me, speaking for me, that I'm able to give the kids or youth motivation to continuously thrive in the world we live in today. But I also think that when I do bring criticism or I'm critiquing them, I do bring a solution to the table as well. So it's not just one of those things where I'm just like, here, you're this type of person, and I leave it at that. It's like, no, you're this type of person, but if you do these things, it can better you as an individual. So I think all around, again, just being honest, being transparent, being upfront really, really helps them. So I believe that's a great space for me, honestly. So.
Yeah. So go back early days, way before you had kids in your life. What was it like to find out that you would be becoming a father for the first time? I like to kind of hear that story because there's dads listening to this episode and maybe they're going to find out this week that they're going to become a dad in the future. And they're completely overwhelmed and they've come to the podcast going, oh, Dave, help me understand what's ahead for me as a dad. Go back there to before you had kids. What was it like to find out that becoming a father was happening for you in the future?
I want to say first things first was, you know, before you have kids, you have a lot of dreams, goals, expectations for yourself. And when you have kids, you realize that my dreams, my goals, my expectations take a change. And I think that was the biggest thing for me was realizing that a change was going to come. The kid being there, coming into the picture was a great thing, but at the same time, it was a nervous thing because you want to be the great parent. You want to be someone who doesn't allow work and goals and dreams and all your ambitions to just take you away from your child. So you have to, so for me, I had to make a lot of different decisions then. I had to say, okay, in my life, I wanted to go down road A, and whatever road A was for me, I had to realize that, okay, road A is not going to be my destination. Now I have to make a road B and a road C and a road, you know, so on and so on. One, because again, when kids come into the picture, you want to be there. And I think that's what happened for me and for the fathers out there that might be saying, hey, you know, I'm becoming a new father. How do I, you know, how do I navigate this thing? And I think just navigating it by just asking yourself what type of father you want to be. And then at the same time, understanding like your kid comes first. So make your kid a priority and everything else will fall in line.
Like it. For you growing up, who was kind of a great example for you about a leader within the home, fathers, relatives? Who was that for you growing up? You're like, there's something about that person. Maybe it was your coach or something like that, but there's something about them and how they live life that inspires me, and I want to take a lesson from them for my kids. Who was it for you?
I would say my uncle. And the reason I use my uncle, most people say, why don't you use your dad? Well, my dad was there, and my dad was teaching me everything. But my uncle had a child who had a disability. And I realized that his life was different than the normal parent, because when you have a kid who has a disability, you really, really have to think about your kid. Everything you do has to center around the kid who has that disability. And I remember sitting down and talking with them, you know, many years ago about my plans for my life. And this is way before I was married and had kids. And he just really instilled in me that, you know, life is going to happen. You have to go with life wherever it takes you, and you have to make the best of it. And up until his daughter died this past year, I realized and I seen how he was still successful in his life planning and still was able to do the things he wanted to do, as well as his wife, and not allow just this one thing that happened to just stop him or crush him or set him back or depress him. He still became, you know, successful. He still achieved his goals. He achieved his dreams. And he's still able to, give me great advice. Even though it might not be particularly about a kid with a disability, yes. It's more so just keep your head up, keep moving forward. And then able to see him retire this past year as well and build his home, you know. So those were great things that, you know, I took from him and still admire him to this day.
Yeah, I get a sense from some dads, especially early on, your identity before you meet your partner is it's just you doing life. You can do whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. It's all about you. And if you don't eat, you don't eat. You're like, fine. But then you get into a relationship and now there's someone else you got to think about.
Oh, yeah.
You're putting them ahead of you all the time and you're right. You want to do your best for them. And then you add in a child. And now there's a little less of you each time your family grows bigger.
Yeah.
There's a little less time for you personally, for your own identity. Did you struggle at all as an early on as a dad to find out who you were and how to maintain that? Because for me as a dad, I kind of struggled in my early days because everything seemed to be about my relationship and then everything seemed to be about my kids, not much about me. There wasn't much time in the end of the day for me, and I kind of wrestled with that early on. How about what's your story for finding your identity as a dad?
Yes, when I first became a dad, I became a dad through step-parenting at first. So it wasn't like I just jumped out, had my own biological kid. I was a step-parent. So when I jumped out and married my wife, and she had two kids, I was more trying to just find my identity because when I was used to being by myself, I was used to doing everything on my own to being now a parent to a kid that's kind of developed a little bit in life. So I had to make sure that I was the role model that was, one, doing the things that I was needing to do, making sure that things were taken care of, making sure that communication lines were open. Because when you become a parent and have a baby, it's different than when you have a kid that's kind of a little bit older than a baby, because you have to communicate with them. You have to communicate with the wife. You have to communicate with everybody and make sure everybody's good. You know, it's not an opportunity to be like, okay, I want to get a house that's maybe one room or two rooms, you know, in the beginning. Now you're like, okay, I have a family. I have to make sure everybody's good. So I would say that's how I struggled in the beginning. And I found myself when I realized that I was reaching out to mentors. I think every man should have a mentor.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to have somebody you can just call and just air things out with. And they kind of help you get in line with things, because the identity part is very important as a father and as a man. It's very important. So that's how I found my identity, by just reaching out to my mentors and then just kind of just hanging out with the dad groups. So I would say, yeah, that's how I
found. Okay. So David, you bring up having stepkids. I love that you mentioned that, because It's like, talk about instant family, right? You know, you're just like from, hey, and now I've got kids. It's amazing. Tell me a little bit about what you learned in the process, because again, there might be stepdads listening to this going, I don't know these kids. They don't know me. I have a relationship with their mom, but I don't have the same kind of connection with them yet. How do you build that bridge with your kids? Take us through a little bit of the early days of that and maybe what you feel you did really well in the early days and maybe some of the things that took a little bit of extra work for you as a stepdad stepping in to instant family status. What, walk us through that. I'm really curious.
So instant family, when I got with my wife, we were dating, first things first, I had to really, really think about, you know, is this something that I really want to do? Because I think when you're dealing with someone who has kids, you really need to ask yourself, is this something you really want to do? Not just going there to kind of just, well, I'm just dating. But the step for me was when I first started talking to her, me personally did not want to meet kids off the gate just because of the simple fact you never know where, if it's going to flip for the good or flip for the bad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's not like you want to meet somebody instantly. Okay, let me meet the kids. You want to kind of like get to know this person first, individual. When you start hanging with the kids or being around the kids, you have to start kind of like talking to them. And the kid, when I first met him, the youngest was about, I'm going to say he was about 6, 7, something like that. And biggest thing was just finding out what does he like, trying to meet him where he likes. So if he's a gamer, meet him where he likes, where he plays games. If he likes to read books, maybe read books. So whatever they like to do, you kind of get into what they like to do, kind of feel them out, see if this is a great fit, because you want them to communicate with you. That's the biggest thing. Communicate with you. If you, if these kids don't communicate with you, then you kind of might not understand, am I doing something good? Am I doing something bad? So I think when I initially started was, that's what I went. I went to find out, okay, what is the things that he liked to do? And kind of just go from there. And then at the same time, I started to really have to understand, okay, now that I'm going to start getting serious with the mom and probably marry her, then now it's understanding, okay, now I need to start really developing and understanding what it is to be a parent, not be a boyfriend or just a husband, but I have to understand the husband, right, parent mentality. So that was things that I had to learn. And again, went back to my mentors, my fathers, things I didn't understand, because when you have a baby, it's a lot different. When you have a kid who's already kind of developed in life, you're kind of like falling in where you fall in, honestly. And you have to understand that you can't take things personal. You just have to take it with a grain of salt and learn from them, you know, because you're both learning each other. And you have to understand when you're learning each other, there's going to be some difficulties. There are going to be moments where you're like, did I really make a good decision? Did I make a bad decision? And I think, and as I went through it, I've had to ask myself those questions. Did I make a right decision? Did I make a bad decision? Did I jump in this too fast? And it's because of the continuation of being a step parent, something that I've never been. Because I grew up in a house, me and my sisters, we all had the same parents. We didn't have different moms, same dad, or mom, different dad. So it was things like that that I had to really learn, honestly.
Yeah, because you're dating someone, you're building a new relationship with your partner, so you have that going on, and now you have the kids to build relationships with. What kind of communication did you have, you know, with your wife, your girlfriend, wife at the time? Like, talk me through some of the conversations you had together around this new family dynamic that was kind of happening in real time. What kind of things did you ask of her? What did she ask of you? I think that would benefit a listener as well.
Yeah. So the communication when we were dating was that what are you looking for? Because I didn't have kids. She had kids. So it's more like, are you looking for a husband, or are you just looking for somebody just to come in the picture and just help with the kids? And I think you have to understand the role. Is that a role that you want to be for both? Whether it's somebody just coming in to take care of kids, or whether it's, hey, I want you to come in and be the husband and be a parent at the same time. Also the expectation, like me, my expectation was, you know, if you're going to be taking the kid or meeting up to, so the kid can go have visitation with the other parent, then these are the expectations I had, was that, you know, you're not going to always be the one taking them to them. These things got, you know, this is so many legal things that you have to realize in the conversations. True. And you also have to understand that it's not, as a step parent, you have to also realize, you have to take a step back and realize that you really don't have a say so as far as where the kid goes, whether it goes to the grandma's house, whether it goes to your house, you know, your sister's or brother's house. You really don't have a say so. It's just, it's granted to you be through marriage, but not through a court system, if it makes sense.
True.
You're a step parent. You don't have any ties. If the mother or vice versa father leaves, in a society, say father, because different things now. But if either party leaves, then you can lose all those rights because they're not technically yours in the sense of the state that you live in. So communication is, where do we want to live? Communication, what jobs? Are we going to stay in our current jobs? Are we moving from this current job? How does this job move affect me? How does it affect me to move in with you, or you moving in with me? Do you want to buy a house? Do you want to rent a house? So it's so many questions that you're talking through. And I believe that you have to come with common ground. You have to understand that you're going to have to compromise. Another person has to realize they have to compromise too. So you want to really get the kinks out. I'm not going to say you're going to get every kink out before you get married, if that's what you decide to do. If you're listening, you're a parent.
Yeah.
I think you will learn a lot along the way, but you want to have important questions. One of my biggest important questions was, if I get in a car wreck, we're married, I get in a car wreck and I'm paralyzed for the rest of my life, are you still going to be there? Those are great questions to ask. I mean, not everybody goes into a marriage and continuously to have the mobility they have. There could be an accident. There could be something happen at work. There could be you're working in the yard, you get stung by something that paralyzes you for the rest of your life. Yeah. Those are real. These are real questions you want to ask, because that's when decisions are really tough to make. So I would say that's a real, you know, you got to talk real, you know.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Like, I think as men, as dads, we can initiate that conversation and that'll make things better. We can talk through these things, make plans for the benefit of our partner and our kid and the kids. You know, we want them to feel safe and secure. Because again, here's this guy coming over to meet mom. Who is this guy? What's his intentions? Like, are we as kids going to like this guy?
Right.
What kind of things you built a bridge, obviously, during your dating time with your partner, but what kind of bridges did you build with the kids? And how early on, once you realize that, we're heading down the path of becoming a couple, how did you kind of build those bridges? Any practical ideas on how we can do that?
Practical ideas in building the bridges, I would just say, as a person, be you. That's number one. Be you. Don't try to be superhero. Don't try to be Batman, Superman. Those are characters. Be you. Because the biggest thing is, you don't want to change who you are just to have to change back to who you really, really are. You want to give everybody the authentic you. And I think when you give people and the young folks the authentic you, it's going to help a lot tremendously, because now the kids know your expectations. You know the expectations the kids have, you know. So it's a big thing on just being you, honestly. Don't change. Don't try to be something you're not. You know, if you don't have a lot of money, you don't have a lot of money. Don't try to go out here and spend money you don't have just because you want to show the kids you can pay bills, or show mom you can pay bills. If you don't make a lot, you don't make a lot. And that's okay. You know, that's okay. The worst thing is to create a fictitious person, somebody who's not real. Yeah. I think you have to be genuine. Be realistic and be authentic. So I would say that's number one. Be authentic.
Yeah. I love it. Now, your home is very unique. You have the kids that you have come in as a step-parent for. And then the two of you have your own kids together, which is great. I love this. So talk a little bit about the dynamic of your home. I think it's very unique, very special. And I'm really curious about the dynamic between all of your kids combined, how this all works, how they treat each other. Give us some more insight on that too, because I think you guys have a very special home.
Yeah, so there's two that are my stepkids, and I have my one biological, as you just stated. The dynamics is, One, as a parent, just making sure that I'm giving every kid the same amount of time. And I know that's hard for some people to grasp because they're like, oh, I have my biological, they got their own. But you have to give each kid the same amount of time. And the reason I say that is because they're all under your roof. These kids remember those things when they get older, whether people believe it or not. Kids eventually become grown adults. And a lot of things go through their heads and play with their minds just as it does ours. So making sure that each and every one of them understands, look at each other as a brother and sister, not as, you know, my dad, so you can't ask for that. That's my mom or whatnot. Just make sure everybody understands that it's a family, the unity in the community type deal. Making sure that each of them understands, like, if one is doing yard work, bring the other ones out so no one feels like I'm doing all of this while they get to go and just hang out and relax. Just have everybody come out and do yard work. If one goes to the movies, we all go to the movies. It's not a single thing where it's like me and my biological daughter have daddy and daughter night. It doesn't work that way. There are people that do that. I wouldn't recommend it, but you know, just kind of just making sure if I take my biological daughter, that I take my stepdaughter as well. Why? Because the simple fact is you want to build those chemistry with the kids at an early age so that they're not arguing and fighting like some families are doing today, or they just don't see each other. You know, so you want to make sure that everybody has a place to feel home. Home is supposed to be a safe place. It shouldn't be a place of animosity. It shouldn't be a place of like a prison. You know, it should be a safe place where you could come and you could say, this is family. This is home. This is where I want to be. So, and it also, it helps them build their own homes when that time comes for them to finally decide, hey, you know, I'm ready to live life when they get older and grown. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, as dads, especially new dads who are listening, we don't know what we don't know as a dad, because many of us, especially for our first, whether we're, you know, stepping in as a stepdad or biological kids, we've never done this before. And there's really not a manual that comes with the kids that says, here's how to do A, B, and C. So we make mistakes. We try stuff. It doesn't work. So we tweak, we pivot, we change a little bit, and we try again. What have you changed your mind about as a dad, where early on you believed one thing, you operated one way, but then it didn't seem to work in your family or with your kids specifically, and you kind of changed a little bit? What was that for you, and what was the change?
I would say being self-centered. Just trying to do everything my way, trying to be the hard-headed guy. Because the simple fact is, this is what I want. I didn't have my own kid, you know, my own biological kid. So I'm like, hey, why would I stop doing what I'm doing with my life or having my ambitions and my goals, as I talked about earlier? Why would I stop those things? It wasn't until I realized that, hey, when you signed up for this, you married her, you committed to this, you have to make those decisions. You have to do the things that you don't want to do in a way, you know, as we call it in the step parent life, you know, because you're like, hey, I can wait till I get my own kid. It's like, no, you have to treat these kids as your own. They're in your house. You can't neglect them. You can't just do your own thing, because what you do affects them. Whether people believe it or not, it does affect them, because those kids might look up to you. They might not look up to their biological parent for whatever reason. But that's just how it works. And then when I started realizing, like, okay, I have to really get on board with the family thing. That's what really changed the dynamics of it, and stop being self-centered, stop being about me, because it's not about me. If I wanted to be about me, as my dad said, then you should have never got married. And I think those are the greatest words he could have gave me in my life was, well, you shouldn't have got married if you don't want to do those things. Not go get a divorce. He's like, you shouldn't have got married. And I was, I think that was the hardest for me, because I was like, I thought my dad was going to come a little weaker than that, but he came a little strong. And then I had to realize, like, he came strong. So now you don't have an excuse. You just have to do it now. So that's what came to me.
Yeah. And what I love about being a dad is the legacy, the fact that there's a piece of me in this world that will be here long after I'm not. And I want to set them up for success in the future, knowing that, and it seems sad when you say it, but knowing that there will be a time when when I won't be here? And what do I want my kids to think about me? What would they say about me? And finding that out now.
Yeah.
I'd like to know that answer now because I won't be there to hear their answer then. No. So one of the guests I had on my show, what he did is he actually asked his son to basically write out, what would you say at my funeral? I want to know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
I want you to tell me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, because as for myself, I think I'm a great dad. I think I'm the awesome dad. I'm amazing. But if you ask my kids, they might give you a different answer. Yeah. Because there's elements of their story with me that were really great. Maybe they weren't so great.
Right.
And I would love to know what that is. And then maybe if there's things that I can do better while we're still together, I would like to do that. So if I was really strict and I didn't show a lot of love, maybe I could be more loving and a little less strict with my how I treat them, even as adults now. My kids are out of the house. So I would love to hear their thoughts about who I am so that I can make changes now to make our relationship even better.
Oh, yeah.
What are you hoping that your kids say about you when you're not in the room? Let's put it in a positive light. You're not in the room. You're not here. They jump on the podcast with me and I get a chance to ask them, okay, tell me about your dad. Yeah. What is he like? What are you hoping that they say about you?
Yeah. My first thing is that they will say that, I am first off and foremost, a Christian. I believe in God and I believe in the direction that he gives all of us to, you know, to do. And my next thing would be that I'm an outgoing person, that I made mistakes in life and that I have corrected those wrongs as a father, you know, early on, seeing things that didn't work and making them and then changing whatever didn't work, didn't work. Also just implementing discipline in them, making sure that they understand that life has rules. You have to play by life's rules. I'm not always going to be here. So you got to take care of one another. And it's my job to show you how to take care of each other. So I think that they will say a lot of things about just me being, you know, taking care of them, an outgoing person, taking them to events. You know, I want them to see what life is all about. It's not always about working. You know, when they're a kid, you want them to see things so that they have something to work towards, you know, helping them build their first home, helping them with wealth, helping them understand money. So I'm one of those parents who can be strict, but at the same time, I believe that I'm fair. I'm honest and I'm upfront with each and every one of them. That's what I know they will say because I know that what I show them on a daily, you know, so that's those are things. And that the next thing is that I'm a great father and a great husband. So, yeah.
On top of this, when we met originally, David, we talked about your military background, and that's got to be some of the most shaping time for you to, A, they bring out the best of you, who they also bring out the worst in you, and they want to make you a better person.
Yes.
First of all, thank you for serving your country and for doing what you've done in the past. And I can tell you're a community-minded person. Talk a little bit about how some of the things you've learned in your military background, how does it shape you as a dad? Like, is there any kind of carryover from what all the great training you've received over the years, any little pieces of that that seem to kind of spark up for you as a dad and you're like, oh, I know where that training came from. I know exactly where why I think the way I think. Anything special from your military training that really helps you?
Yes. I would say that first off, being away to work, you know, we don't look at it. We don't really acknowledge or realize it, but you know, when you're away from work, you're thinking about your kids all day long. You're thinking about your family all day long. And you want to be, as I say, don't be the superhero, but you want to be a superhero in a way. Because if they're calling, if something happens, you want to be there. And I think, you know, with my military training, being overseas, deployed, realizing that I can't do anything physically. All I can do is pray. So my biggest thing in training was, think about your family, but pray for your family most importantly, because you're not always going to be around. And when they go to school and I'm at work or they're at, or my wife's at work, I have to realize, like, I have to pray and give it to God. Another thing with military training, as we call it, the hurry up and wait, is always get the kids to hurry up and do what they got to do. Like, we're taking a road trip. I want the bags in the vehicle. I want all this stuff done now. Even though we're not leaving right now, get it done now so that when it's time, I'm like, okay, hey, let's hit the road. Let's go. We can go. Just this past year, we took a flight for our first time as a family. And it was all about make sure bags were here, make sure that they're standing where they're supposed to be standing. So it was all about just making sure everything was going as planned, and staying organized. I think the military did a great deal of that as I was in and going through training, of just being organized and making sure that every hit time that we were supposed to be on is done. I want to say the other one is training, where we train as a unit. You know, you're there to protect the person to your right, to your left. I have that same influence in my house, that we're trained to protect each other no matter what, no matter if anything goes wrong, we're there to help one another, lift each other up. So those things, all of that training comes back to my family and to me. And I don't even, sometimes I didn't, you know, don't even realize it. But now that I start really looking at life differently, I realize, wow, I got that from the military. Wow, that's what's really helped me out to stay on top of things and just to continuously reward my kids too when they do something great, you know, because you're not always going to discipline your kid. And you're not always going to give your kids something great when they do something great, but it is nice to let them acknowledge them when they're doing something great. I think that helps them, because when they work a job, they're supposed to get paid, you know. Yeah. And when you work, your pay is your reward. So I think rewarding them to kind of make them understand that's how life works, and that's how I looked at it in the military.
I love it. Again, Dave, thank you for serving your country.
Thank you.
I love having people on who have done what you've done, and I've had many different people who have served in different branches, and to hear their stories, and there's just something special about people who serve their country. So I just so pleased to have you here. You also have a podcast, so I'm going to have you on other shows that I have.
Yep.
But I want you to talk about your podcast. You're all dressed up. You all got your podcasting gear on. Tell me about your show. Tell me more. I want people to listen to it. We'll have links in the show notes so they can go right from this conversation right over to your show, subscribe, follow, do all that stuff, and fall in love with your podcast. Tell me about your show. What's the big idea? What do you do on your show?
Yes, sir. So my big idea started with me saying that I wanted my motto to be educating the mind. And I think that when I look at educating the mind, it's more about opening your mind to new things, thinking different, looking at things and not just going off your first instinct saying, this is what it is. Sometimes just thinking about it, reflecting, okay, everything in life has a moving part. So that was my motto. And as I go through my podcast, which is Frazier Chronicles, it's basically different stories. It could be politics. It could be just educational tools. It could be about the military. It could be about so many things. But it's about the one goal and the objective is to educate the mind. And I keep the mind at the forefront is because so many people today don't really know how to think. They think because of what someone says. They think that if they say it's going to rain tomorrow, it's supposed to rain. Well, it doesn't rain. Now what? So educating the mind to understand that you have to think for yourself. Come up with your own thought. And it's okay. I think too many times we, you know, when I was listening to the podcast in the beginning and just looking at the world and how it's shaped in the beginning, it was all one way. You think the way I think. Don't think your own way. And I think that really, as I took my podcast forward, was I want people to really be able to understand that it's okay to think outside the box. It's okay to educate yourself and really gain the knowledge so that when you see things, you're like, okay, I can put my own thought on this. And that's what I want for my podcast, for people to look at it and say, okay, they might hear a show or they might hear this show right here, and they put their own mindset on it. and not just get stuck in just what I said. I want them to put their own mind and their own spin on it. So I started back in 2019, and I went as a solo. I didn't have a co-host or anything like that. And I realized when I started it, I realized that being by myself was probably the best thing I could have done, because I was able to research, I was able to navigate, I was able to just put out different types of audio and video and express it in the way that I looked at it. And it was able to be pushed to other people so that they can see how I thought about it, but it's still educating themselves on it. So I would say that that's how I really, really dived in. And I'm on every podcast and platform there is. And I did it, again, because I researched it and opened my mind. And that's why I'm able to say, open your mind. Expand on your own thing. Don't just take my word for it, but open your mind. You might find some nuggets, and you might be able to take what I say and add it to what you want, and then you come up with something bigger. So
that's amazing. For a new listener, David, coming to your podcast, any directions on where to start? Do we start with the most recent episode? Do we go back to episode one? Is there anywhere to start as a starting point for a brand new listener to your show?
For a brand new listener, I would just say to go on and look at what it is you're looking for. But if I had to give you direction, I would say start with the first episode. Start where the beginning happened and to the most recent episode. And the reason I say that's because it's going to help you develop in different categories and different ways of thinking when it comes to maybe you're watching the news. Now the biggest thing is about wars happening. There's military podcasts. There's a podcast about, you know, mindset. There's podcasts about mental health. So I think that, and I believe that if you start from the first episode and you work all the way through, you'll really get a lot of understanding, and you'll be thinking a lot about just the different things that have been talked about. And then maybe you and their friends will be sitting talking around some coffee or around a table of food and saying, man, I listened to this episode. What do you think about it? And that's what I'm hoping happens. So I would say start from one all the way to the end.
All right. And make sure you follow, subscribe, and do all that as well so that you get every new episode. How often, David, are you releasing episodes for your podcast?
Yes. Yeah, so this year, my goal is to release one every week.
Great.
I'm having some done now in the editing phase, but I'm picking up and trying to, my goal again, one every week. So
nice.
It's going to keep me going, but at the same time, it's going to keep listeners getting new things and new ways of thinking.
Amazing. Do you have like a website kind of attached to the podcast as well that we can send people to?
Yes. For all, any new listener out there, is www.FraserChronicles.com. And that's where all the latest podcast is. That's where all the videos from our YouTube is as well. Merchandise is on there as well. So it's a website, and it's about me. I think that's the biggest thing about me. What do you want to know about somebody you're listening to? I think that's important to know. Hey, let me check this person out, see some of their background and the backstory, and kind of get a story and understanding on the individual. So, yeah.
It's amazing. David, that's awesome. Congratulations on your podcast. Congratulations on a great family. For you and your partner to show up and create this home for these three kids. And it's exciting to see your path as a dad. I'm so happy that you're here on the podcast. As we close off, Dave, I would love to get your words of wisdom and encouragement for military men and women serving who are far from home, far from their family, far from their kids. Again, you talked about praying for them when you're not around, but we have men and women listening to the podcast serving overseas, for example, and they might be listening to this going, I miss my family when I hear David talking like this. But as a fellow serviceman yourself, if you could speak to them and share with them, how can you encourage them as a parent far from their kids? What would you like to say to them to help them kind of as they prepare to come back and see their kids again in the future? What would you like to say to them?
Yes. So I would like to say to them, first off, remember why you do what you do. It's first thing. Remember why you do what you do. Your family's going to always be in the back of your mind when you're thinking about, why do I do what I do? because of my family. I think also at the same time, cherish the moment, you know, from this time forward, whether if you haven't done it or whether you have done it, cherish the moments, because 5 years later is different from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago is five different from 2 years later.
Yeah.
So cherish the moment and understand that life is going to happen regardless of how we navigate this life, no matter what plans we put in place. Everything doesn't go as planned all the time. So navigate life understanding that you have to make every day count, every moment count, every second count, and every year count that you have on this earth, because everything happens at a fast rate. Everything happens fast. Take time for those people you say are important to you. Take time for those folks. If your kid is asking you, hey, just be home for me when you get here, be home for them. And it understand they're asking you for a reason, because you don't want to live with regrets. That's the worst thing you can do, is live with regrets. Give your, you know, take time for work. When you have time for work, have your vacation planned out. Know where you want to go. And seek those things that you desire to go, and seek the things that your family desire to go. Because at the end of the day, one day you're going to get out the Army. One day you're going to get out the Marines. One day you're going to get out the Navy. One day you're going to get out the Coast Guard. One day you're going to get out the military as a whole. And what do you have to show for? A bunch of awards, or is it your family? And you have to pick which one you want. So my words of wisdom is, make sure at the end of the day, your family is who you want. Reward's going to always be there. They're going to come and they're going to go. You might lose one in the process of moving, but your family, that's who you got. That's who's going to have you to the very end, and you should have them to the very end. So those are my words of wisdom.
Amazing. David, thank you for showing up for my podcast, but more importantly, thank you for showing up as a dad. Yes. Congratulations to you and your family. Wishing you great, great stories to come as your family grows and this bond gets stronger and stronger. So glad to have you on the podcast. I'm glad that we get to have more conversations in the future as well. So we'll have links to all those other episodes. We'll have you back. But thank you, David, for making time to be on Dad Space.
Yes, sir. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to come into Dad Space.
There you go. Everyone, all the information for David, his podcast, everything, all the links will be in the show notes. David, thank you so much for being part of our community and being on the Dad Space podcast. Hey, thanks for listening to Dad Space today. I'm so thankful that you were here for this episode. If you like the show, please let another dad know. Hey, that kind of rhymed. Anyways, share the episode out with somebody in your circle who would love Dad Space. That means so much to us here, for our guests who donate their time to be on the show. And we just want to see this grow. So, again, another rhyme. Oh, wow. Anyhow, I think I need to write a song or something. Thank you for being here with Dad Space. And again, looking forward to the next episode. Look forward to having you here again with us. And if we can help you in any way, if you have a great guest idea for the show, a topic that you would love us to cover, we would love to do that here on Dad Space. So thanks for listening, and thanks for being part of the community. And to you, Dad, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing Dad Space. Catch you on the next one. Take care.